Well, I started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone. And the sun went down as I crossed the hill. And the town lit up. The world got still. I'm learning to fly, but I ain't got wings. Coming down is the hardest thing. Well, the good old days may not return. Rocks might melt, and the seed may burn. I'm learning to fly, but I ain't got wings. Coming down is the hardest thing. Break your heart, steal your crown. So I started out for God knows where. I guess I'll know when I get there. I'm learning to fly around the clouds.
Welcome to Tall Cat Psychic 101, everything you ever wanted to know about the paranormal but were afraid to ask. I'm Karen Tall Cat Conley. I'm a psychic and a medium by profession, here to demystify metaphysical woo-woo and to remind you of the amazing things you are capable of doing. I've seen and interacted with spirits and other dimensions all of my life. I've read for celebrities, executives, animals by telepathy, those in the healing arts, and anyone who reached out to me through my website, www.karentallcatwithak.conley.com. I've assisted in finding lost people, foreseen world events, visited other dimensions, and remote viewed the future. When giving readings, I only need the sound of your voice or your words in print to connect with you. I don't need your birth date or even your real name. I just dive right into the energy at the time of the reading. I believe that everyone is intuitive by design. I love teaching others how to use their own abilities, and I do that by experience instead of philosophy. Since April 22nd is Earth Day, and I received email requesting this subject, I'm bringing up the topic of the planetary changes, some of the ancient prophecies, and a little bit of what is in store for us now. I'm going to talk for a while about that, and then we'll open the lines for call-ins. Either a question about the changes or a question in the form of a reading is okay. And you'll know when the phone lines are open because I'll give you the the call-in numbers to chat with the cat. For those of you that will be in Arizona on Friday, April 18th, I'll be at Wings of Light in Pine Top, Arizona, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. for Talking with the Dead. This is a John Edwards-style presentation, preceded by a discussion about the death process and what mediums see in the afterlife. Call 928-367-4477 for tickets. This one always sells out, so call soon. That's 928-367-4477. On to the topic with a quote for you. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of disbelief. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. These words, written in 1859 by Charles Dickens from A Tale of Two Cities, seems like a prophecy for 2008. We are in the midst of a war of spiritual conflict with material matters. We are more advanced in technology, yet underdeveloped spiritually. We have advanced, but not evolved. It's true that various bubbles of potential exist before us, yet large planetary changes have now become predetermined and even necessary. It is time for planetary adjustments in relation to the universe, and man will have little, if any, influence on this event. Earth adjustment is a necessity according to divine plan and is enforced by universal laws. While there are substantial ways that humanity can influence the elements, we are unable to affect the laws of the universe. That's a quote from Ruth Montgomery in her book, The World to Come. And as one of my favorite comedians, George Carlin, said, the Earth is fine. She doesn't need healing or saving. She can and will take care of herself. It's the people that are messed up. Everyone is running around trying to save the planet. Basically, they are selfish, wanting a more comfortable, nicer, safer place for themselves. They don't really care about the planet. If people understood that nature isn't outside of them, it is within them, they would never have overbuilt, overconsumed, etc., in the first place. People say they are going to take a walk in nature. Let's go have a nature walk. Well, we are already in nature wherever we are. We are a part of it. We just don't get it. Some say, go after the corporations. Go after the government. The sources of pollution. But the thing is, it's a symphony. We all have a place in the band. We are all part of the situation. It isn't just one group causing the problem. People want their goodies. We've become slaves to gizmos and toys. And we all want a cell phone that makes pancakes. We think that will make us happy. That's George Carlin from Jammin' in New York. It's true, we like to think we won't have to face the dramatic changes and the challenges. Remember the year Y2K? Well, nothing happened. The sky is so blue today. I have a great job and a good home. How could anything be going on? What's the deal? The New Agers believe we will, quote, ascend before the earth changes. And the Christians believe Jesus is coming first, so it won't matter if times get tough. I say detour du jour. Won't they be surprised to find out evolution is going to happen right here? These vast and dramatic earth events have been coming for 5,000 years. And they've happened before. But still, we are shocked. 25 years ago, I had three visions of future earth changes. I saw fire in the sky, the entire earth shaking and water covering much of the planet. This was frightening to me. I was much younger then, and I didn't have as much spirituality in my foundation. I shared this with a Christian pastor because the visions were so vivid and so clear, and he told me that those visions had to be inaccurate because they were negative and that they couldn't have come from God. So I kind of put it on the back shelf, and it wasn't until I reached midlife that I understood the actual meaning and later the accuracy of those visions. I'm not the only one that had visions and saw the future. Information has been available about the times that are here for decades, more than decades, hundreds of years, thousands. The Mayan prophets calculated the end of this age to be December 21st, 2010. And they say they left a door open for us, an energetic door open. The Southwest Hopi Nation prophecy, given long before we invaded Indian lands, goes like this. This is pretty amazing. The fourth world shall end soon, and the fifth world will begin. This the elders know. Many signs have been fulfilled, and there are only a few left. The first sign. White men will come looking like the Pahana, but not living like the Pahana. Men who will take the Indians' land, land that was not theirs. Men who struck their enemies with thunder. Second sign. Our lands will see the coming of spinning wheels filled with voices. White men bringing families in covered wagons. Third sign. Strange beasts like the buffalo, but with great long horns, will run over the land in great numbers. White people's cattle. Fourth sign. The land will be crossed by snakes of iron. Railroads. Fifth sign. Land will be crisscrossed by giant spider web. Maybe internet or telephone? Sixth sign. Land crisscrossed with rivers of stone that make pictures in the sun. Highways. Seventh sign. You will hear the sea. You will hear of the sea turning black and many living things dying because of it. Oh, I made a boo-boo here. I just realized. Mayan calendar ends in 2012, not 2010. That's a few years difference. You will hear of the sea turning black and many living things dying because of it. Eighth sign. You will see many youth who wear their hair long like my people come to join the tribal nations to learn our wisdom and our ways. I see that as a movement of peace in the 60s. The ninth and last sign, you will hear of a dwelling place in the heavens above the earth that shall fall with a great crash. It will appear as a blue star. Very soon after this, the ceremonies of my people shall cease. The Hopi prophets go on to say, we are going through a great period of purification. There will be destruction, then renewal. Then we will enter the fifth world, the golden age. The earth itself is part of a galactic community, and she has evolved over time. She will eventually ascend to join the greater galactic community. Evolution is not and never has been without great turmoil. So we are experiencing intellectual and emotional struggle and discomfort as we shift paradigms. It is really time to release outdated programming and old belief systems. It is no time to be resistant to change. We got into this perilous situation through our resistance to change and our refusal to adapt to new ways of being. That was our choice, and we must deal with it. Humans used to be capable of rapid change. We used to grow hair on our bodies when we needed it. Now we can't change fast enough to realize what's happening to us. Yes, we have played our part in this arrangement, and the ride of a lifetime is here. It is not to be avoided, feared, or even healed. It just is. We have forgotten that we are here to evolve, which includes periods of chaos. This earth needs to move, so get out of her way. The earth is a woman trying to scream, but we don't want her to, because she makes a mess when she screams. Asking the earth to stop what is about to come forth is like asking a woman about to give birth to cross her legs and hold it back. So the earth must move and release energy for her survival. She is creating Genesis, and she is beautiful. Now other life forms have remained in specific harmony with the earth. These life forms adapt by reforming, going to high, dry places, or burrowing in the earth, restructuring themselves or migrating, guided by their innate wisdom. Their changes are in balance with the greater intelligence. Chaos has a purpose. It brings new life. We can learn to embrace it and move through it with grace, wisdom, and balance. That's the good part. If chaos is fast approaching, how does one prepare for it? What should I do? Should I buy an axe? Should I get a gun? Where should I go? What's going to happen? Begin to investigate this for yourself. Avoid the mainstream spin, I caution you. The changes are not coming in 100 or 500 years. They are here now. The best way to prepare for the situation, I think, is a Hopi elder who spoke it this way. You have been telling the people it is the 11th hour. Now you must go and tell the people it is the 11th hour. The 11th hour is coming. Now you must tell them it is the 11th hour. There are things to be considered. Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in right relation? Where is your water? Know your garden. It is time to speak your truth. Create community. Be good to each other. And do not look outside yourself for the leader. Then he clasped his hands together, smiled, and said, "This could be a good time. There is a river flowing now, very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those that will be afraid, and they will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel they are being torn apart and will suffer greatly. Know that the river has its destination. The elders say we must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river, keep our eyes and our heads above water. And I say, see who is in there with you and celebrate. At this time in our history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth comes to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourself. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and your vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we have been waiting for. For the future changes, my advice is, from my teaching and my learning, store water, water, and more water. Learn to grow food. Store some seeds so that you can grow some in the future. Also, learn how to store canned and dehydrated food. If the sea levels rise, is your location a safe one? Create community. Don't go it alone. Get your relationships in order, and then keep your eyes open. To prepare is really not gloom and doom. It's common sense. Now, before we go, we're going to go to the phone lines in just a minute, but I want to make sure that you get some resources that are excellent regarding the coming changes and preparation based in science and spirit both. The first one, just look up on the internet, online, implications of an abrupt climate change scenario, which is a Pentagon report written by Peter Swartz and Doug Randall in October of 2003. You know, if the Pentagon is writing a scenario of what action should be taken in the case of an abrupt climate change, the Pentagon, if they're interested, you know it's gone mainstream. The World to Come, which is a book by Ruth Montgomery. The Coming Changes That Are Here by Ramtha, which you can find at www.ramtha.com. Absolutely Watch An Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore. His website is www.climatecrisis.org. An Inconvenient Truth is found in movie form, DVD, and book. You can even rent it from Blockbuster Video. Also, to learn about long-term storage of foods, check out happyhovel.com. They're great. They'll help you with deciding what you need and how much to buy. So, it is now time for the phone lines to open. If you have a question and you want to call in, here's the numbers. USA and Canada, the number is 888-815-9756 or worldwide 877-489-6350. So the phone lines are open if you wish to chat with the cat. Just dial the numbers and I'm here ready to talk to you. I love to take calls and I'm very interested in hearing your commentary or in providing a reading for you if you have a question along those lines. So, about these times to come, we'll talk a little more about that until we get a call. There is a lot of talk about, from various sources, about when things are going to happen and when things are not going to happen. The most emphasis I would like to thrust forward for people is that there is going to be a change. Well, there are many potentials in front of us, and we don't know exactly the outcome. Nobody really knows how bad it will get. But what harm could there be in learning about it and preparing in a reasonable fashion? This subject is one that people tend to avoid. I know the New Agers like to think that if they hold hands and pray on Earth Day and, you know, visualize rainbows, that everything will be fine and nothing will happen. And as well, the Christians believe that when Jesus comes, he'll come first, and it won't matter about all those dirty diapers in the landfill. But this is beyond tree huggers or environmentalists. This is a process of evolution that has, it isn't the first time. This has been going on since the beginning of time. The Earth has changed radically like this multiple times in history, and we're facing one now. We just happen to be more aware and to have more opportunities and ways to prepare for it. So I want to tell you again, we're open for calls. If anybody wants to call in, I'm happy to talk with you. That's one of my favorite things, is taking phone calls. The number for the USA and Canada is 888-815-9756. Worldwide, 877-489-6350. Another interesting thing as we move into these times, these changing times that are here, the end times, as they're called, is the appearance of more and more phenomena, like the orb phenomena, and interactions, enlightened interactions with the Outlanders or our brothers that live in other universes and other planets. There'll be more and more of this becoming visible. So it's important that people sort of know what to expect. You don't want to miss this opportunity for change. This is an exciting time to be here, and we wouldn't be here if we weren't capable of sustaining ourselves through it. I wouldn't want to miss this for the world. I think there couldn't be a more exciting time to see the outcome of this. I want to be here the day that this, we pass through that door that the Mayans left for us and we step into the golden age. I just want people to know that it isn't going to be one day we're here and the next day we're in the golden age. There is a period of adjustment and turmoil, and it is fast approaching. If you tune into some of the, you hear it on the news here and there, sprinkled through there, there are shortages, there are dramatic changes in our monetary system. It's even as far as storing food goes. When you go to order some of these foods, very often you find that they're not available and, you know, won't be for some time. We have become so used to putting a plug in the morning and turning on the toaster in our hair dryer that we just can't believe that that won't happen, or that trucks of goods like Santa Claus coming across the United States won't be there to bring us everything we need to a store where we drive to in our car and we pick it up. We don't even know how to use a shovel, most of us. So we need to investigate the possibilities and the ways to prepare for this. Oh, they tell me, I see that I have a call now. So I'm going to go to Kendra, who's from Illinois, on line two. Hi, Kendra.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, first of all, I called generally for a reading, but I must say your program is really good. I totally agree that most people that, you know, They just sit around. They think, oh, well, if we just think happy thoughts, everything will be better. So, yeah, yep. I totally agree. You know, people should do more to prepare and whatnot.
That's my little piece of information that I feel compelled to bring forward, that it isn't going to be like a movie. This is real, and, you know, we have time and we can prepare. So thank you for the compliment.
Definitely.
I'm glad you like the show. And how can I help you?
Mostly, I just want to know what's coming up in my life. So, like, anything I should be aware of, just in general, like, anything that might come my way that I should just generally be aware of.
Okay. Let me take a look at that, Kendra. I'm going to focus for just a minute. Well, I'm getting a mini view of your energy field, and I have to tell you that what I see is somebody with multiple talents. You have a lot of abilities in different areas, and is that true? And
yes.
The only, the flip side of that issue for most people that have multiple talents and things come to them easily is focusing in and choosing one to develop it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
that's part of my problem.
Yes, I know. I can see it in your field, and that you are, it's almost like everyone thinks, oh, it would be so great if I just had a lot of talents like that. I would be so happy. But it actually has its own set of responsibilities and difficulties and loopholes, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so making choices and then following through is sort of one of your areas where you have to really exert personal discipline to make that happen. But are you right now at this present time looking at 2 to 3 possibilities, opportunities, or ideas?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And it's pulling me in different directions.
Horrible. Because I... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I just said it's pulling me in different directions horribly, and it's making me so I don't know exactly where to commit my energy because I don't know what's worth my time and what isn't.
Okay. Let me give you this piece of information from the other side. When it comes to making a choice like that, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but first of all, when you have a direction that you want to go in, and you, I caution you to not be too attached to the ultimate outcome, which sounds, controversial, but what I'm trying to explain is when we go forward on a plan, we tend as humans to really want to corral in the outcome, and A leads to B leads to C, and we want to have it orderly, and we want to have it proceed according to that sort of plan that we have without much deviation so that we can make a straight line from A to B. When you choose your course of action, in your case particularly, it's important that you go with the flow and allow space and slack and a little bit of area to make adjustments in your course as you travel toward it, okay?
Okay.
Don't think if something comes up and you have to make an adjustment, we often tend to think, oh, well, then that was wrong in the first place, and, you know, I'm screwed. But it's not true.
Yeah.
It is not.
Yeah.
It isn't true.
Okay.
Kendra, do you have an issue around, like, income? As far by income, I mean, are you do you have a scholarship or an amount of money that you want to invest in a goal? And so you're really, I get the feeling that part of it is which way is the best way to invest in this course.
Yes, yeah.
Money is part of this issue.
That's one way. That's part of the decision. Another part of the decision is someone offered me a job a while back, and it just feels like the whole project is on an indefinite hold, and I don't know if the project's ever going to take off.
That project, I'm looking at the energy there, and I always tell people, I give what I see, but always run it past your own inner guidance system as well. Here's why.
Yeah.
As we go along, we co-create, so things can change. But in reference to that project, right now, in time, when I look at it, I sort of see a strong possibility of that fizzling out.
Okay. Okay.
That's kind of like how I felt
about it. Like, I just don't see it going anywhere, but there's always a possibility. So I just didn't know.
I see that pretty strong for potential for fizzling out, so I think that probably eliminates one of your courses of action as far as being an immediate choice, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Like, well, it really isn't my choice because it's not exactly my project. It's a friend of mine's project that I agreed to go along with, and it just feels like it's on an indefinite hold. I know he's very, very busy, and he has so many things going on that I just didn't know if it's because he's busy or if there's other problems that I was not aware of.
Well, that project that you're speaking of, I don't see it as being anything like a cockeyed scheme or something that's really wacky that, you know, that would not necessarily bring forward, you know, a good outcome. I just feel like the right people, the right time, and the situation at this moment, like, it's not going to mesh. You know, a lot of times things that look, that appear to be really fantastic for whatever reason, and they are fantastic, they just fizzle out in this present time. Who's to say in the future it might come back around? But as far as the timing goes right now, I don't see it as being really particularly profitable or, you know, getting oomph up off the ground.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Is there anything else that's, like, anything coming into my life that, you know, it's just, I feel like there's something, or at least I'm hoping there's something, but I don't know if, you know, anything, not miraculous or anything like that, just something really, really nice I've been hoping for a long time. And I don't know if anything's ever going to come of it, or, I don't know. It's like, there's something I'm really hoping for.
Does this have anything to do with a relationship?
Yeah, kinda.
I know that's a piece of it.
Yeah.
And you really, Kendra, I see you standing on the threshold of life, so to speak, with opportunities, options, and various roads open to you. And really, with your level of talent and your abilities, and they really are valid talents and abilities, you have so many choices, and your only concern is a process of narrowing them down. And also,
yeah.
I guess, be sure that you don't overthink it, because you're really bright, and you live a lot in your intellect. Most of us in the United States really do live in our heads, because that's the way our culture is. We don't have an equal balance between head and heart all the time. So give yourself permission to sort of step aside and look at these possibilities in your life, make a choice, and then step out on it in faith.
Okay.
And go forward with an open-ended attitude. If it doesn't seem to be fitting correctly, you can alter your course. It's okay to back up, change directions. Totally okay. About the relationship part, that question. Are you in relationship now, Kendra?
I was in a relationship and it went bad. The thing was for the reason that the other relationship went bad, it was a multiple reasons. But before I was in that relationship, there was this guy I really liked. And I just totally fell head over heels, and I've never felt anything like it. And then I went into a relationship after it, and even though I tried to give myself completely into it, I always felt like there was something missing. And I've never found anyone that compares to this guy, but I feel like it's a really complicated situation, and I don't want to push anything. I feel like he's like the same way. Like, he gives me hints that he's interested, but it's like he doesn't want to push anything. I just don't know if we're always going to – I don't really know, like, what's going on, or – I don't know.
Let me give you a piece of advice that will really help you from somebody that's older than you. this relationship that you experienced, as wonderful as it was, very often, you know, we think because something was really great in life, like that relationship, that it should be ongoing somehow. But sometimes the whole purpose of it was that it was just wonderful. And that's all it is, and it's not necessarily going to proceed forward in any way. In your case, Kendra, go forward with the plans as far as what your talent is and how you want to develop your own self, and let that relationship fall in along the way, because it will. Be open to that.
So just go along with life, and if it falls in the place, it falls in the place.
Well, make a definite choice what way you're going to go forward as far as using your talent.
Okay.
And then begin to pursue it. Make the decision and go forward. Don't hesitate, because there's a lot to choose from. Choose one, go forward. And let the rest of your life, like relationships, et cetera, fall into place. Focus on that choice and building that into something for your future.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. It was great talking to you.
Mm-hmm. Nice talking to you, too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye, Kendra.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Well, we're back, people, and I just wanted to say that if you guys want to contact me, I'll give you my contact information so you know how to get a hold of me to schedule readings. My contact number is 813-928-3105. You can contact me through my website. That's Karen Tallcat with a K, Conley.com, or you can email Mr.Tallcat@gmail. That's Mr.Tallcat@gmail. So I want to say again, please do check out some of these resources for the changes that are here, the earth changes, and I'm not even touching on any of the political situations, et cetera, but the vast changes that the Earth is going to be putting forth. I mean, there's already many incidences happening. We have the tsunami. We have Katrina. As Al Gore said, after Katrina, what has happened is that we are now, there was a feeling of we are entering a period of consequences. So it is time. We have been for a very long time, like in Al Gore's movie, he showed a great illustration of a frog that's in a glass of water. And if the temperature of the water heats up gradually, little by little, the frog thinks he's comfortable because his body, you know, gets used to it. And he doesn't realize when it gets too hot what the outcome will be. That's a great illustration of most of us. We become so comfortable with the availability, the easy availability of goods and services, etc., that we don't realize when things are beginning to change. We rationalize and sort of deny that there are changes. We might notice that there's, you know, a shortage of something here or there, but we think it's temporary and that it's not going to be a problem in the future. These are signs that are there to help us awaken and to help us be more aware so that we can begin, you know, preparation for what's coming in. I want to say once again, we're open for calls in case you just came online. I'd be happy to take your call and talk to you, either a question about the earth changes or a question in the form of a personal reading. The phone numbers, if you'd like to call in for USA and Canada, are 888-815-9756. Worldwide is 877-489-6350. That's 877-489-6350 if you have a question or you'd like to have a reading. I'll remind you as well that I'm going to be teaching here in Arizona, in Pine Top, Arizona, in the White Mountains. If you're going to be in the area on Friday, April the 18th, I'll be at Wings of Light from 6 to 8:30 p.m. for Talking with the Dead. It's my John Edwards-style presentation preceded by a discussion about the death process, and what mediums see in the afterlife. I have to tell you that this class is, this event is not what you might think. It is usually, there's a lot of laughter and there's a lot of upbeat conversation. It is, I have to tell you that the people on the other side have a really good sense of humor. It provides closure many times and inspiration. So if you want to join us, call 928-367-4477 for tickets. And it always sells out, so call soon. That's 928-367-4477. So, as I was saying, this earth adjustment is now a necessity according to divine plan. And it's enforced by universal laws. There was a time when things were at a certain point that it was possible some of these changes might not evolve and some of these things might be avoided, but we are past that now. It is now into an area of universal law, and it is no longer quite so possible for us to change these coming events because we can't affect the laws of the universe. So we can sing our songs and we can gather and we can put our energies in a positive focus about the earth, and all of that is well and good. I don't mean to be dismissive of it or to discount it. It is probably helpful in some way, but it isn't going to change the fact that waters are rising. There are movements of shelves of earth that is underneath the water. There are movements, and there is going to be water is coming, people. There is definitely water coming. Water is going to be rising. It has been suggested that a safe place to live would be inland and on high ground. There are multiple sources as to finding out what part of the country is more likely to be safe than other parts based on the earth changes, the planet changes within that area. And it is a situation like this. If you feel the urge to migrate like the animals do, and if you wish to make a change, think about it. If you want to stay where you are, that is certainly okay. Make peace with it and stay there. If you feel leading to change location and to go to a different location, then go for it. And know that it will be, in many ways, inconvenient, uncomfortable, and maybe not your choice of what you'd like to do. I have friends that have beautiful homes on the high cliffs in California. And when I suggest that they might want to find a location that might be safer, you know, they respond with, you know how much I paid for this view. Well, you know, enjoy the view and make peace with it. But it is going to be pretty tumultuous in the state of California. They already are experiencing extreme water shortages. I believe I heard on the news the other day that California has actually lost their rights to the Colorado River. We were there recently for the Orbs Conference in Palm Springs, and we noticed on the driving out that we couldn't find ice at several gas stations because they just didn't have it, and there was no water in the windshield wiper thing to clean your windshield with. So, you know, there's these little events are not just random events. These are patterns, and they're also bits of guidance to show us what's coming, from what areas, and what we can do to change and to prepare. My husband and I, we had to go through quite an adjustment when it came to discussing preparation. We're both students at the Ramtha School in Washington State, and if there is anybody that is completely straight up about the changes that are here, it is Ramtha, who is an ascended master who is 35,000 years old. And he doesn't hesitate to say exactly what is coming. He's been teaching about the changes for 25 years. His purpose being, his reason for starting so early, so to speak, is that he is a strategist, and he knows that people are slow to change. So he has been speaking of this for 25 years, and his predictions are happening. My husband and I, even though we're students at the school, and we've been studying at the Ancient Mystery School for 4 years, when it came time to discussing things like moving and storing food and looking at possibilities of solar flares and earthquakes and all of that, we had a very hard time with it. We both had to, and I tell you this from experience, when you first begin to look at this, it's overwhelming. And I caution you in the beginning not to get on the apocalypse crazy train, because that crazy train of thinking takes you into the place of imagining that there's conspiracies everywhere. And it's true, there are conspiracies, but you'd have to sort of take this preparation bit by bit and piece by piece and digest it. Yet balance yourself so that you don't put it off or avoid it or just tell yourself it's not for me and I don't endorse that. Give it a chance, you know, investigate it, read it a little bit. Let it marinate in your, you know, in your inner guidance system and see what comes up. The thought of storing food about made my dear hubby, you know, wacky. His theory was if we store food, you know, we're sort of like setting ourselves up for an expectation of something negative to happen. But through discussing it and reading and listening to Mr. Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth, which is very much scientific and very well done. I strongly urge you to watch it. Don't miss An Inconvenient Truth. We began to sort of settle with it a little bit, and we little by little made our decisions. We actually sold our home in Florida, and we moved all the way to a small town in the White Mountains of Arizona, and it was major culture shock. And it was not comfortable. But no paradigm shift, no personal evolution is easy for a party. And chaos has a beautiful purpose. If more of us could realize that chaos brings us advancement on the other side, we could embrace it and go forward to it without dread and anxiety. So, When we see this chaos upon us and coming our way, it is the necessity that we need to evolve, the planet to evolve, and we as individuals to evolve. And the ultimate outcome is a beautiful gift of the Golden Age and the Fifth World. Once again, we have a little bit of time left, not too much, but if anybody wants to go ahead and call in, personal reading or question about the earth changes, the number is worldwide 877-489-6350, USA and Canada 888-815-9756. So, and in reference to An Inconvenient Truth, we were checking out the movie once again just before I came on the show. And I have to tell you that since we've been through the great move, the migration to Arizona, and we have continued to study and learn about how to prepare for what's coming, watching it the second or third time like we did tonight was really so much more there that we missed the first time. Go to Blockbuster this weekend and just rent An Inconvenient Truth by Mr. Al Gore. As probably most of you will know how recognized this man has become for this work. It is totally scientifically based, which is why it's a good foundation way to start. Then go into the other parts of it that are deeper, the spiritual sides of it, and the level of difficulty that we are facing. You know, it is time to from within, build up your inner resources. And if Katrina taught us anything, did it not teach us to not look outside ourselves for the answers or for leadership? The answers are within. And that is where you will find your direction and your leading, is from within yourself. Gather the information that's available to you, you know, the inconvenient truths, Rompha's Coming Changes, The World to Come was by Ruth Montgomery. Those are all good sources. By all means, read The Implications of an Abrupt Climate Change Scenario. That Pentagon report is pretty impressive. And once you've done that, then begin your own personal journey. And you'll find that as you begin to adjust to the idea that things are not going to remain the same, and that maybe things like life insurance and long-term investments and future plans that you may have had may not fit into the scheme of this new picture so well. Once you realize that, you'll become motivated to find out ways to prepare and to go forward with what is there. It's a monumentous transformational process to think in terms of vast changes like that. We are so deep into social consciousness teachings about life insurance, future retirement planning. If you really think about life insurance and retirement planning, it doesn't life insurance, the word, sort of mean insuring your death? And, so if we are not going to go that way of planning, life insurance and retirement, isn't that in a way kind of liberating? I find it to be very much so. And instead, there may be, as we pass through these times, there may be smaller communities that grow together and help each other, and the world becomes a simpler place, a quieter place, a place easier to hear the voice of God and the leading of the Spirit. That's perhaps what the Golden Age could be best described as a quieter time and a time of cooperation between small groups of people. So once again, I'd really love to have some calls. I love taking calls, and I love chatting with people. So try either number, USA and Canada, 888-815-9756, 877-489-6350 for worldwide. Once again, if you need to contact me, if you'd like to have a personal reading with me, or if you'd just like to check out my website is www.KarenTallCatWithAK.com. To schedule a personal reading, you can contact me at 813-928-3105 or at mr.tallcat@gmail. That's it, at 813-928-3105. That's the call number if you wish to schedule an appointment with me. And as I say to you, I've been a psychic for all of my life. When I was 6 years old, I saw spirits and spoke with beings from other dimensions. And I enjoy working with people that from all walks of life. So contact me. Check out my website. I've got all kinds of resources on it, information, good, solid links, and stories, and soon to be an orb gallery of photographs. As I told you, Mr. Tallcat and I were in Palm Springs not too long ago for the Orb Conference, which was an amazing event. And the orbs very much have to do, the orb lights have very much to do with the incoming changes and the days to come. It's important that people know about them because they're an affirmation of the fact that everything we do is seen. And our prayers and our meditations and our thoughts are heard by great, benevolent, loving beings that are not visible to the eye. These orb lights are becoming more and more prominent and visible through the technology of digital photography, and it's very easy to use that to take pictures of them. So check out my website in the future because you'll be able to see for yourself photographs of orb lights. We recently had an orb party with some friends, and we watched the film Orbs, the Veil is Lifting First, and then we went out into the dark, dark night on a friend's farm up here in the mountains and just shot pictures with a digital camera, We went out, we invited them to come in. And most delightful of the whole evening was the fact that one of the gentlemen there, who is just beginning sort of his search into these spiritual things, he just got photo after photo of beautiful orb formations, gorgeous spheres that were around his wife and the horse out in the stall out there where we took the pictures, and a whole shower of orbs where my husband and I were standing, just a whole shower of gorgeous spherical white orbs. It's a very interesting phenomenon, and it's a fun party, too. So, I see that my time is running out. I hope that you enjoyed tonight's program. I'm going to sign off for now. I'll see you next time. That's going to be Wednesday, April 16th at 6:55 PST. See ya.